Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The likelihood of us getting back on any kind of peace track that leads to a two-state solution is going to be pushed off way into the future.
Two airstrikes hit media centers in Gaza, wounding several journalists. Israelis said they were aiming for antennas on top of one of the buildings. Gaza.
They ensure reports that at least 11 civilians are dead there, including a few children, and this is by far the highest civilian casualty toll in the 5 days of fighting.
To find a long-term solution to Gaza. I've been there 3 times, and we have to find a way to prevent the kind of violent rocket attacks that we've seen, and also to bring some security and peace.
There's no country on earth that would tolerate missiles raining down on its citizens from outside its borders.
And we begin this hour with the escalating conflict between Israel and Hamas. You heard their rocket attacks by Hamas responded to with airstrikes from Israel. They've entered their sixth day with international concern that negotiations over a ceasefire are growing harder to reach. With the militant group, Hamas says they will not stop the rocket attacks on Israel until the country respects its autonomy. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's prepared to expand Israel's military operations in the Gaza Strip. More than 90 Palestinians and 3 Israelis have died just since Wednesday, and the attacks intensified over this weekend. A house may have been mistakenly hit in Gaza, killing 9 members of a Palestinian family, including women and children there. Israel's military spokesperson Avital Leibovich says the violence can only stop when Hamas stops attacking its neighbor.
We are heading on with the plans of the operation until we'll reach the goal of defending Israel. Even today, rockets shelled Israeli cities. 2 launches were made towards the city of Tel Aviv, but were successfully intercepted. And the equation really is very clear. When it will be quiet in Israel, it will be quiet in Gaza.
We now want to turn to one Palestinian American and ask about what she's heard from her friends and family back home. Lena Ibrahim is a first-generation Palestinian-American activist. She has family in the West Bank and friends in Gaza who she's been speaking with over the weekend. Lena, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A little bit of reporting, if you will. What are you hearing from your friends in Gaza?
Well, I follow very closely on Twitter updates with all my friends in Gaza who have been tweeting just every hour what's going on outside of their window, which is just ongoing attacks, ongoing bombs and missiles, and the death toll just keeps rising every hour. I mean, they're just terrified. I know that families are just terrified. I don't know what they're doing. Everybody's just kind of in their home, scared to death, and people feel like there's no safe zone in Gaza.
And so you're a self-described Palestinian-American activist, Lena, and as you hear these reports and the violence becomes very, very real for your friends and maybe in some cases your family in Gaza, does it change your perspective maybe on the conflict, maybe not necessarily who's to blame, but what it really means when it's not conceptual, but it's real?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I follow the news very closely when it comes to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and things had been very quiet. I mean, of course, there's always escalation in the West Bank with settler violence, and in Gaza every day people are struggling. But when I heard of the attacks, it became very disturbing. And to see it happen from my computer screen and to be so helpless and to know that, you know, I see every second pictures of babies burned to death, it all of a sudden becomes incredibly disturbing for someone like me, a Palestinian America, to just sit here and watch it.
It would be very easy to understand anger and frustration with Israel and with Israeli defense forces. After all, they're the ones firing the missiles that you're describing. It makes me need to ask you about how you feel about forces on the Palestinian side, in particular Hamas, which, as we all know, has a hand in firing rockets into Israel. We don't have to get into who started first. That's not exactly relevant here, but it makes me need to ask you about responsibility on the Palestinian side as well.
Yeah, sure. I think in order to answer that question, we really must point out the situation in which Palestinians live under, specifically in Gaza. It is 1.5 million civilians under an Israeli blockade where they are unable to live. I mean, it's unbearable. And so I don't justify by any means the Hamas rockets, but I do understand the resistance in Gaza. People in Gaza feel very hopeless, and they feel very angry, and they rightfully have that anger, I think. And I think when they look at Hamas, they see some form of resistance that might lead them to liberation because it's forceful. And I wouldn't argue against that, because I think, like I said, the situation in which they live under is the reason that they believe that this kind of force is needed for their liberation.
That's a perspective on violence between Israel and Palestinians in Gaza. Palestinian American and activist Lena Ibrahim speaking with us about what she's hearing and her opinions from the Gaza Strip. Lena, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.